concept really would be the chance of facing the price of a gun was pointed to our head or a knife. I think it was why Paul writes to a public church in Corinth. Examine yourself to see whether or not, whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail. But sometimes, you can get a pretty good idea of what we'll do when we are put to, say, smaller tests. What we do under less stress and over time sometimes can be a good indication of how we would behave under greater stress. The decisions that we make under smaller trials are an indication, or they could be an indication, of who we are. Are those decisions consistent? Are they consistent with what we believe and our values and our character? And I think this is why spiritual practices are so important. Acts of kindness, charity, and faithfulness are muscles that need to be exercised and used. Otherwise, under deeper stress, usually when it really matters, we will most certainly fail. In James, we read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." And so this is why, parents, you need to let your children be tested by life. How well will they produce perseverance and mature to grow? Many of us struggle with deep anxiety about our own existence. But really, that's stemming from a place of uncertainty and insecurity about ourselves, and more deeply, our insecurity about God. Do we know God? Can we trust God for who He is? Can we trust that God has made us to be His own? Stories of heroes and heroines always contain character tests. They have to face dilemmas that will prove their worth to those who are watching. It is what will give them credibility or moral authority. And forgive me for being a Lord of the Rings fan, but the example that came to mind was Galadriel, the Elf Queen, when offered the Ring of Power. She was being tested. She had to examine herself and consider what that ring would do to her. She refuses, and she passes. And the same thing with Aragorn. He was also offered the Ring of Power, and he passed with those tests. Abraham's silent but steady obedience to God's command reveals, I think, his trust in a God who will provide a way. This isn't blind obedience to an all-powerful deity. This is an unhesitating obedience to a gracious God. A God who wants to bless flawed people, broken people, in order that they may bless other flawed and broken people.
And he's also a God who wants a people who would rightly bear his image, his own character. Hence, he wants a people who will act with faith.
In this last episode between Abraham, Isaac, and God, we find Abraham who is quiet, but he is ready. Just a year before this, God appeared to Abraham, then Abram. And Abraham fell on his face in his half at the thought of a child being born to an old couple. Now his response is different. Three times he answers, "Here I am." He's indicating that he is present to God. He is present to his child, Isaac. He is confident of the God who commanded his attention. "We will return," he tells the servant. "God himself will provide an offering," he tells Isaac. I wonder, though, the text is silent on this, if Abraham inwardly questions his own ability to follow through. Many times we may ask of God, "Why? Why me? Why this? Why now?" Abraham's story tells me that as broken as we are capable of following God. And as Ted said, our faith can grow. And it ought to grow as we walk further along this journey of life. God's testing our faith. God's testing of our faith. It's not in a context of a judicial court, but within a context of a relationship. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Maker. And he is our provider. In the end, a burnt offering still has to be made. And this is a sign that redemption of humanity still requires cost. And so he gives the ram to take Isaac's place. And at the far end of the journey of Israel, God gives his own son, Jesus Christ, to take our place. God doesn't want our sacrifices. Frankly, he doesn't need our sacrifices. He wants us, our whole self. And he has provided a way for us to know him, to be right with him. And so he invites us to become fully his by acts of faith and obedience. What we would call acts of sacrifice. So I want to invite you to consider, what test of faith have you gone through and or are going through? How do these tests reveal who you are? And more importantly,
how may we talk to God about our trials and tests? Can we go to Him? Can we have a conversation? I want to pray for us this time. I want to give space for God to speak to you. Lord, I ask that You would help us to be real with You. May You help us to be honest with ourselves. Even as just to say, God, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I have enough faith. But I want to. I want to trust You. Lord, may we be thankful that we are being shaped by You. Because we couldn't be in better hands. Before we continue with communion, and if you feel brave enough, vulnerable enough, would you raise your hand if you feel like your faith is being tested at this time in some way or another, that you're in the midst of a testing? You're not alone. God is with you. And His plans aren't to harm you, plans aren't to make you fail. His plans are to increase you, to shape you. Our God is a good God. He is a faithful God. I'm going to ask Ted to lead us as we prepare for communion. And I encourage those